इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
हे स्नेहा, रिडल मी दिस। इट गोज इन ड्राई कम्स आउट वेट।
नले यू नो वी आर रिकॉर्डिंग राइट?
नो ओके। इट गोज इन ड्राई कम्स आउट वेट। इफ यू कीप इट इन लॉन्गर इट बिकम्स स्ट्रॉन्गर।
No comments. I'm not putting any comment on this.
It's not what you think, dirty mind. It's a tea bag.
Oh, okay. Well. So we now have a double meaning riddle on tea?
Yes, why not? Tea is omnipresent in our mind, puns and blood. And well, I also know where it comes from and all the history.
Yes, that is of my use. That is for the podcast.
All right then. So, welcome back to Made in India here on Itihas. I have Gandhali Kulkarni with me again. Gandhali has been a very dear friend for past several years. And today we discuss another Made in India story. Not a brand, not a product, but a concept, a culture. I'm of course talking about our national drink, chai, that is tea.
So, Gandhali, I guess tea drinking in India is very, very old and it's a tradition. So, how back does it go? Does it go to like Ramayana times?
Well, not really. I mean, there are legends and stories and myths about how Sanjeevani might actually have been tea leaves.
Okay.
Or say how Samrat Ashok or Harshavardhan had tea during their reigns. But actually, as per historians' notes, who visited India during the 15th century,
yeah.
Indian ate tea leaves with garlic and oil.
Ooh.
So the tea that we drink since the 19th century is strangely thanks to the British officer's initiative.
So you're saying tea is not an indigenous product?
Well, the tea that we drink today, Camellia sinensis, as it is scientifically known, was cultivated by bringing some samples from China, which now we know as Darjeeling tea.
Okay.
And the tea that we drink as Assam tea is very much indigenous.
Right.
What happened was, the British officers wanted to end China's monopoly in tea.
Okay.
East India Company at that time wanted to trade and gain money from tea as it was losing a huge part of its investments in other parts of the world. So they saw India as a potential ground to cultivate tea and sell it through the company as a competition to China.
So then we can say that the main interest in tea cultivation was to reap benefits.
Absolutely. The British have always been good at enterprise of benefits.
But who told them where and how to plant these saplings from China?
Well, there was a committee appointed in 1834 to think of all these factors.
Okay.
To introduce a supply from China, deciding the most suitable place for growing the plants, make arrangement to bring the seed and then conduct the experiment.
Mm-hmm.
As luck would have it, they realized that the tea plant already was present in the jungles of Assam.
Oh, okay.
The local people called Singpo consumed the leaves brewed in water and the British officers and botanists started studying them.
Mm-hmm.
The first batch of drinkable tea was made and sent to Calcutta in 1836. Approved as a tea of good quality, and well, India has not looked back ever since.
So, you mean British take all the credit for our Indian tea?
No, not entirely. An Indian called Maniram Dutt Barua, or Maniram Diwan as he was known later, was the person who introduced the British to the Singpo community in Assam and the tea planted by them.
Mm-hmm.
Initially a loyal of the East India Company, Maniram later helped the first uprising of 1857 against the British.
There was an uprising in the tea estates by the tea workers.
Yes, you have to consider that the main interest of the British officers here was harvesting tea and selling it through the East India Company. Therefore, when there was a scarcity of labor, a lot of tribes from the area surrounding Assam were forced to migrate and work in the tea estates.
Okay.
The native Ahom rule was deposed, and the workers were kept away from basic life amenities, let alone even a proper education.
Yes, and these tribes, like most tribes everywhere, must have had their own style of life and democracy, or of course the matriarchal rule, which is pretty prevalent in the northeastern India. Yeah, I can see why they were anti-British and anti-colonial.
Yes, but since then, it starts getting contradicted. I mean, they wanted to overthrow the British rule on one hand, but on the other, they wanted the tea estates to be preserved, of course, because it provided them with some regular income, although forced, but regular. So, well, Maniram Barua had a very strategic position here. He was the Tehsildar and initially a loyal of the East India Company. But after witnessing the British exploitation, he resigned and converted to, say, a rebel. And it is said that because of him, the rebellion, which was still then largely limited to the upper castes of the society, reached these tribal tea workers. The tea workers helped Maniram and his cause in every way they could by doing smaller things like carrying messages and contributed to the rebellion.
Right.
Well, eventually the rebellion of 1857 was curbed down. Maniram himself was hanged to death, but the tea culture that had started by this time only grew more and more.
By the late 19th century, Indians had sufficiently been enamored with this drink and they had routinely started consuming brewed tea as their go-to drink. India had become one of the largest tea producers of the world, but almost 70% of the produce would be consumed locally because Indians themselves had started enjoying its consumption.
Right.
So having a cup in the morning and in the late afternoon became customary to many households, and the tradition still is alive today.
Right.
Even today we do that. So as people usually do, Indians themselves came up with quite a few variations of this brewed tea to suit the Indian palate. And one of the best and most known adaptation is our signature masala tea.
Yes, masala chai is credited to the traders from Maharashtra, Gujarat and Bengal, who were the people who had easy access to dairy and spices.
Right.
So they added a twist to the British or Chinese tea, some milk and Indian spices like cardamom, cinnamon, pepper, clove and ginger.
Ginger, right.
This is how the legendary symbol of India was born.
Even an American chain like Starbucks came up with this fancy name, chai latte, where what they actually serve is a pretty milder and, as I would like to say, an adulterated version of Indian chai. But the point is that they too decided to cash in the popularity of the term chai, closely associated with India. Not just India actually, the term chai has its roots in the Persian word for tea, which is chai, or the Chinese word for it called sa. What is interesting to see here, Gandhari, is that chai too has seeped in our culture as if it originated here.
Yeah, there are so many phrases which we routinely use in our life. So first there is chai pani. The connotative meaning is casual bribing. Or the classic arranged marriage setup that India has is referred to as chaha pohe in Maharashtra,
yes.
Signifying the tea and snacks which the girl is supposed to have made.
Yeah.
Tea is one thing that cures everything. Extreme summers, winters, heartbreak, disappointments at work too. And if it is raining, especially in the monsoons, hot tea with hot snacks is a must.
Totally. So, tea has also become the basic minimum requirement of hospitality in our country. I mean, if you go to someone's house, you are at least offered a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And if someone does not, a lot of people take it as a personal offense, saying, how could they not even offer a simple cup of tea? Yeah?
Right. Sneha, here we cannot forget the standard roadside tea stalls. You will find at least one such tea stall anywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
A bus stop, railway stations, roads, outside public gardens, even the fanciest looking buildings in the cities have a tea stall outside their campus. And most of the white-collared working population will have a sip or two at these stalls.
Yeah.
An interesting concept that came out of these kiosks is a kind of tea called Amrut Tulya, which means this tea compares only to Amrut or the elixir of life, accessible only to gods.
Yes, I think that is a classic Maharashtrian specialty, if I'm not wrong. I mean, calling tea as Amrut. So these Amrut Tulya vendors and even most of the Indian households, for that matter, use CTC dust tea. That is your routine powdered tea.
Right.
So we do not directly use tea leaves for brewing. CTC stands for crushed air curl or cut air curl. Is an old method of obtaining the best quality flavor from the leaves.
Right.
So brewing tea leaves has now actually become a foreign, a non-preferred method for most of the Indians. Although that is how tea was introduced to us. Well, to sum it up, chai is something that was foreign, didn't belong here. But it came here a couple of hundred years ago, and within no time, it became our product. Not just a drink, but a culture in itself. Chai is truly a made in India story. We have to say that Indians are divided by everything else, but united by their tea.
Okay, done. Let's go and have a chai.